Thank you, Jim. Good morning. And I pray everybody is doing well. Look around, give somebody a wave, a smile, and I'm going to keep my germs to myself without shaking my hands and that sort of thing. But we're so glad you're here this morning. As always, we welcome our online audience, and we ask you to give a wave. If you are computer savvy, you can put a little emoji waving to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who does such a fantastic job attending to our online audience at Central Baptist Church. And we're so glad that you're here this morning as we celebrate our final Sunday as we head into the Christmas season and as we celebrate the birth of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we begin our time together, we got a lot of things we got to do today. Let me ask the Lord to bless our time as we look to Him in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, again, we are truly grateful and thankful that you have given us the opportunity to come together. Lord, what a blessing it is to come together with like-minded believers, Father, to lift up praises to you, and Lord, to celebrate who you are. And Lord, as we consider this week, a time when we celebrate your birth, what a very special and pivotal time in all of our history, Father, as we celebrate your birth. Lord, I just pray that you will help us to always maintain the true reason why we celebrate the Christmas season. And Lord, in the midst of all of our comings and goings and all the busyness, Lord, may it not crowd out the true reason why we celebrate Christmas. So Lord, today we pray that you would be with us as we endeavor a look at your word. Lord, we're claiming the promise that where two or three are gathered together, you are there in the midst. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would give us something fresh from your word today, that not only we can carry into this Christmas season, but that we can carry into each and every day of our lives that will change us, that will draw us closer to you. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you know we're in the middle of that time at Christmas time when we take the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. One of the things that you have been privileged to be able to see, and specifically last week, you got to see who Lottie Moon really is and what her story is and her heart and her dedication towards missions and towards the people of China. I don't remember whether the video mentioned it or not, but Lottie Moon actually passed away on her way home from China of starvation. That is the reason that she left this world, because she was more concerned about those that were around her, more concerned about seeing that they had a meal. But from what I understand, she was actually on a ship coming back toward America and passed away of starvation. So the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is essentially collected in her honor. And what we do is we make sure that every dollar of that you give goes specifically for our foreign missions. I'm old school, so I still call it the Foreign Mission Board, even though it is actually called the International Mission Board. And what that does is that is what keeps our missionaries on the field over there. Churches, Southern Baptist churches all across the world take this offering. That's how we keep those missionaries out there. So we always like to try to give you a little bit more information on what this offering is truly all about. I will say this, there are offering envelopes that you'll find in the back of your pews. If there's not one there, you can ask one of our ushers or one of our folks at the door. We'll get you one. If you see one in there and it doesn't say Lottie Moon Christmas offering, that's okay. Write Lottie Moon offering on it, and we'll make sure that it gets where it's going. But today we want to take one more look at our Lottie Moon. We'll be taking this, by the way, through to the end of this month. So if the Lord leads you to give to that, you can certainly do that as our regular offering is collected, and we'll make sure it gets where it's going. But today we want you to look at I Cannot Be Silent. Once again, this is put out by International Mission Board to help us not only understand, but also be a part of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Go ahead, Travis.
I pray that no missionary will ever be as lonely as I have been. Here I am, working alone in a city of many thousand inhabitants. It is grievous to think of these human souls going down to death without even one opportunity of hearing the name of Jesus. How many can I reach? We are now a very, very few feeble workers, scattering the grain broadcast according as time and strength permit. God will give the harvest, doubt it not. Please say to the new missionaries that they are coming to a life of hardship, responsibility, and constant self-denial. They will be alone in the interior and will need to be strong and courageous. Oh, that my words could be as a trumpet call, stirring the hearts of my brethren and sisters to pray, to labor, to give themselves to this people.
A new generation needs to know her story. As I started growing in the Lord, God took that fascination with Asian culture and turned it in more to a longing. I want to give them this. I want to share with them what God has done in my life, how He changed me. And for the longest time, I just started praying, do you want me to live overseas? And I remember just a clear yes, like, this is where I want you to go.
Where we have four,
we should have not less than 100. Are these wild words? They would not seem so were the Church of God to awake her high privileges
and her weighty responsibilities.
You have such a love and burden for the people that there's a certain amount of trust that you have to give away to God, and it's hard to do that sometimes, to let go.
If the joy of the Lord be their strength, the blessedness of the work will more than compensate for its hardships. Let them come rejoicing to suffer for the sake of that Lord and Master who freely gave His life for them. The needs of these people press upon my soul, and I cannot be silent.
Once again, just another look into the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and what it is that you and I support, as well as Southern Baptists all across the land. Just as a reminder, once again, we will be taking this offering not only this week, but next week. If for some reason you can't contribute this week, then you can always drop that by the office. One of the other things that we always say, too, as well, back in the back, we call that the Lottie Moon Post Office. Some of you old-timers know what that is. That is for, like, Christmas cards. If you have Christmas cards to give to folks that were within the church, you can go in there and put them in the Lottie Moon mailbox based on the first letter of their last name. Now, the idea behind that is not just because we think the post office doesn't do a good job, but the idea behind that is to take what you would spend on postage and give that to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You guys have always, always, in the history of Central Baptist Church, have been phenomenal supporters of missions, and I'm very proud to be able to say proud in a good way of what Central does when it comes down to the support of our, not only our international missions, but our home missions, and then also our local missions and what we do here. So thank you for your heart, and again, we pray that the Lord would lead you and guide you in your support towards the Lottie Moon offering. Now we're going to continue to worship. Brad's going to come lead us as we lift our voices in praise to our Lord.
First of all, thank you to all those who braved the cold last week and came out for our cantata and special evening. And thank you for the hospitality team for all you did and for the great catering. We had a great time. So this morning we're going to sing one of the songs later from that and some carols. Excuse me. So please stand as we sing Joy to the World, 87.
Today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 with me. It was so interesting that having the opportunity to be in the Holy Land a couple of weeks ago, and I still remember I took that moment, and as I was standing there on the Temple Mount, and I looked out over the city of David. And the first thing that came to my mind was the scripture, "For is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And just to be able to see it, to be able to be there, to be able to experience that was such a great joy. And as we think about the Word of God, as we think about what was taking place over many, many years, hundreds and hundreds of years, the people had heard of a long-awaited Messiah. When you go back into the Old Testament and you think about Abraham and you think about Isaac and you think about Jacob and you think about all those Old Testament prophets, they had prophesied that there would be a coming Messiah. And the Messiah hadn't been there yet. In fact, there had been the long-awaited Messiah. You've probably heard that before. So what happened was, at the time of the birth of Christ, I mentioned this last week, and I'm going to mention it once again, but there is a 400-year period of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we're not very patient people, are we? Where are my patient people out there? You're patient. You better repent, Don. Everybody knows that, I'm telling you. We are not patient people. We live in that instant society. We want everything to happen right now. We want it to take place right here. Yeah, and so you have to think, what would have happened had we been in the days of the Old Testament prophets? And we had been hearing about this coming Messiah. And we knew that it had been a long time and nothing had yet happened. Let me ask you this question. Do you think you might have been a little bit discouraged? Maybe a little bit discouraged, but even more so. Even if you were not discouraged, the problem is we get distracted. We get distracted from what we should be looking for. Have you ever noticed that in your life, that how easily it is to be distracted when time passes by? I mean, I know that in my life. I've always shared this illustration because this is one of the most poignant illustrations that has ever happened to me, particularly as a pastor of a church back in the days before we had the communication like we have it now, where you can send an email or you can put something out on a social media page. One of the only ways that we would let people know that we were going to have a change of time with our services, or if we were postponing services due to inclement weather, was by the news channels. You see that. Yeah, all of a sudden, they're running those things across the bottom. And we had special codes and all the things we had to use to make that happen. So what would happen would be, naturally, once you put it in there, the next thing that you want to know as the person who is the leader, you want to make sure that it goes on. If you're like I am, my thing will be, I've called it in, I've used the right codes, I've put it in there, and it should be there, but it's not. How many of y'all operate on Murphy's Law like me? It should be there, but it's not. Okay, so I would always want to watch and make sure that it was going to come across. And of course, what would happen is it's done in alphabetical order. That helps you. It's alphabetical order. So I'd be sitting there glued to the TV, and I'd watch all the plethora of A's go by, and then all of the B's, and I'm sitting there getting ready to say, Central Baptist Church begins with a C, it's coming up next, I should be okay. And I'm sitting there glued to the TV, and then all of a sudden, something would happen. Phone rings, you know. All of a sudden, somebody says, hey, can you help me with that, whatever it is. And even if you look away just for a second, that 1 second that you look away, you're past the CEs. Then you got to sit there and watch through this whole thing again. That's just the way that it goes. We are not very patient people, and we are easily distracted when it comes down to things. So people had been looking for the long-awaited Messiah. And we know that according to the scriptures, as we start to get into the New Testament, There were those who essentially, and I use this word lightly, it was their job, the Pharisees. They were the ones that knew what the Word of God said. Even when we look at the Christmas story, one of the things I always like to point out was that when the Magi, you know, actually went to Herod, and Herod was troubled. Y'all remember that part, right? What was it that Herod did? Herod called his wise men and asked and inquired of when and where the Savior was to be born. And they gave him the right answer. They said, you know, in Bethlehem, that is where Jesus will be born. They knew all the answers, but yet they were too busy being religious to actually follow the Savior. So you getting where I'm going with this today? I think sometimes we can be too busy being religious that we completely miss the forest for the trees. We can be so busy talking about Jesus that we're not worshiping Him. We can be so busy being involved in the things of Jesus that we completely miss what is going on and we completely miss what is taking place. You see, the Messiah had been long awaited. And what had happened was all of a sudden, as we start to get into the birth of Christ, it culminated in this flurry of spiritual activity that they were not looking for, nor were they ready for. We see that the birth of Christ is what we celebrate as we start this particular year. So I want us today to look at Luke's Gospel chapter 2, which is pretty much the Christmas story as we know it, and there's a few things that we want to look at particularly concerning that. Now, why do I say that? Because today we're going to have that look of how too many times we can get distracted when it comes to the birth of Christ, but how many times are you and I distracted about the fact that He's coming again? Yeah, we can be on cruise control. We can be too busy being spiritual that we're not spiritual. We can be too busy doing the things of Jesus that we're not prepared. What if it happened right now? I thought about that when I was in Israel. I thought, well, what if all of a sudden the trumpet sounded and I was standing right here on the Temple Mount where all this stuff took place? That'd be kind of cool. I'd be waving across the world at my friends and family that are going up at the same time I am. And I'd be going, hey, look at where I am. It'd be kind of cool. And yet all of a sudden, after 400 years of silence in the Bible, here's where we get to. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today again, we're grateful for the opportunity. Lord, we're grateful, first of all, for Jesus Christ. Lord, we're grateful for the death, burial, and resurrection, which through Christ provides eternal life for each and every one of us. So, Lord, today I pray that as we visit a familiar story, that you will give us, you'll give us something new, something fresh to hold on to, maybe something we've never seen before out of this particular passage. Lord, may we not just be in another mundane or routine Sunday service, but Lord, may we truly meet you in this place and may you change our life forever. Now, Lord, I am nothing and no one without you. The words that come forth today have to come from you for them to matter. Lord, I pray that for each and every hearer that they would hear from you. Lord, that the Holy Spirit may speak to their heart and their lives through this particular passage, that they may be drawn close to you, or Lord, that they may this very day give their life to you. So, Lord, I pray right now that you would bless this time as only you can, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things that I've always preached about and I've always known is that God's got a plan. God always has a plan. If you will remember from the days of the prophecy of the Old Testament that there would be a coming Messiah. We know parts of the Christmas story where it says that the angel went to Mary and said, you know, Mary, don't be afraid because you are going to conceive in your womb a child that you will bring forth, that you will call his name Jesus. And we know what Mary said. Mary said, how is this true? I've never known a man. And then all of a sudden, as time progresses, she obviously has to tell Joseph. And remember, they were engaged. They were betrothed at that time. And Joseph, fearing that Mary had been unfaithful to him, you will notice the scripture says in that particular passage that Joseph, willing to put her away privately. Now, why it says that is because under the law, because they were engaged, what happened was, very simply, Joseph could have had Mary taken out and stoned. But he loved her. He didn't want to do that to her. But yet he was crushed in his heart because he felt like she had been unfaithful to him. So the angel had to appear to him as well. And you remember that story where the angel said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife because what she has conceived is of the Holy Spirit. You know, in other words, she hasn't been unfaithful to you. Imagine the strength, the courage for the journey that they had to take forth. So now all of a sudden, this is culminating up to the point where we are. All these things had taken place before we get to this scripture. Now we know that the long-awaited Messiah was said to be born in Bethlehem, right? That's what the Old Testament prophets for thousands of years had been saying before that. And then, but Joseph and Mary were not in Bethlehem at the time. So they had to get to Bethlehem. Well, how does that happen? You know, I want you to refer with me once again to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Okay? In other words, they're going to be taking a census. Now, they didn't have the door-to-door people like you and I have today. They didn't have the thing where you fill out the blank. You couldn't go online. So the way that took place was you had to return to your city of birth. That's how that would take place. And guess what? Or the city where you were from. So guess what? Joseph actually had to go to Bethlehem because of a government decree. This is what he had to do. There was no choice. Do you think God knew about that? Yep. Do you think God orchestrated it? Yep. You think all along there was a plan? Absolutely. That was going to be the fulfillment of prophecy. How was it fulfilled? Because the government put out a decree that all the citizens had to go back to be registered where they were from. That is what carried Joseph and Mary, who, by the way, it's interesting, I grew up with the translation that said she was great with child. Y'all know what that means, right? Y'all have looked at somebody, some lady in the latter stages of pregnancy and thought, Lord have mercy, how does that lady stand up? She was great with child. So could you imagine making that journey? Now, you know, whether it was long or not, if it was 100 yards, it's a long journey when you're great with child. And all God's mamas said, amen. There we go. You know what that's like. So they had to make this journey. They didn't have Expedia. They didn't have Travelocity. They didn't have all these things. So what you had to do was you had to go there and basically hope you could find a place, because you weren't going to make that journey there and back in a day. You were going to have to go. You were going to have to find a place. You were going to have to settle in. You were going to have to take care of the business of being registered. So that was going to take some time. They needed a place to stay. And as the other passages of Scripture come to light, one of the things that we find out is that when they got there, it's much like holiday travel. How many of y'all have traveled by car during a holiday, especially Thanksgiving? Maybe you just did. How many of you, when you did, thought about things that didn't please Jesus because of the traffic? Right. Everybody seems like they're heading in the same direction you are, trying to get to the same place you are, and they're all in your way or going a lot slower than you. In fact, most of the time, you're just sitting there on the highway looking at each other, getting to know one another, as it were. So all of a sudden, all these people had to go back to their prospective home, as it was, to be registered. Joseph and Mary are on their way. So they get there, and there was no room at the Hyatt Regency. The Hilton was full. They probably started going down to the Marriotts and other places. Then it got to the point that they were desperate. They were looking for the Motel 6 or the Quality Inn. And even those places didn't have any place for them to be able to stay. But Mary was still great with child, and they needed a place. Now I ask you this, was this part of God's plan too? Yes, it was. You know why? Because remember, everybody was looking for a king in the sense that they knew a king. You know, crowns and robes and royalty and all that. And yet what happens is, when we look at things from that perspective, we can tend to feel like those people are unreachable to us. There are those people who you don't just get to drive down to Washington and stroll up to the steps of the White House and say, I'm here to see the president. Whether you like him or not, you can't do that. I have a feeling you're going to get tackled before you get anywhere near close to that. And you can sit there and say all you want to, well, I'm a taxpayer and I'm a citizen and I have the right. There are some people that you just can't get to. There are superstars that you've been enamored when you actually got to be somewhere close to their presence. But yet Jesus didn't want that to be the way that it was with him. Jesus is available to everyone at a moment's notice, on a daily basis. So he wasn't born in the most sanitary of conditions. He wasn't born in a place where you and I would even say that it was average. It was essentially looked at that he was born into the poorest of poverty, as it were, in a stable. You know why? Because that lets everybody know that he is attainable. I've always said the ground around the cross is level. There is no socioeconomic status when it comes down to Jesus. You know what? Don't care how much money you got. Don't care how much power you got. Don't care how much status you got. You're no better than anybody else. You're no better than the person who has nothing. Let me tell you this. All of us need Jesus. So we see in this passage that God even uses, and oftentimes he will use those who are heathen or those who are pagan to bring about his will. We know what the situation was. Let me go to Egypt. Remember the Exodus in Egypt? Pharaoh didn't care anything about God, but yet God used him all along to make points along the way with Moses and the children of Israel. So a census took place. That was to fulfill the prophecy. That was to get Joseph and Mary to the place that had long been prophesied where the Savior would be born. Verse 4 tells us that Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And why? Because he was of the house and lineage of David. That's why he had to go there, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Like I said, New King James says with child. I think King James says great with child, I believe. Verse 6 says, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Now, I also want you to think about what that must have been like. Could you imagine Joseph and Mary? They're on this trip. They have to be there. And all of a sudden, you know what you and I would generally say? You know, all of a sudden when she goes in labor, if that's us, we're sitting there going, the timing couldn't be any worse. Isn't that what we would say? I'm not home. I'm not in a place that's comfortable. I don't know anybody around here. And what happens is too often we're looking for those creature comforts. And instead of saying this is the most, one of the most glorious moments throughout all of history, we would be sitting back going, this is the worst thing that ever happened. Joseph drugged me down here on this trip, blah, blah, blah. I realized, well, I'm not going to blame my honey, Joseph. I'm going to blame the government because they're the ones that made us come here. But at any rate, do you see how easy it is for us to be negative and for us to not see the plan of God unfolding in our lives? If you don't get anything else today, listen, here's what I want you to get. God's got a plan and things are proceeding along his plan. Even when we don't understand them, and even when we don't like them. So the days were accomplished for her to be delivered. And verse 7 says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I love how that's expressed. Swaddling clothes sounds cool to us, doesn't it? You know, when we say swaddling clothes, we think of a nice little fleece blanket that's warm. And no. Swaddling clothes were basically grave clothes. That's basically what they would use to wrap and prepare a body for burial. Are you picking up the parallel? Are you picking up the metaphor there? But Mary used what she had, and she wrapped him up in those swaddling clothes or grave clothes. And it says, and laid him in a manger. That's a feed trough. Now, most of us have these preconceived ideas. I do as well. I mean, a lot of my preconceived ideas were when I went to Israel. I didn't realize things were as close to each other as they were. Of all these things that were going on and all these things that were taking place, I'm like, okay, the widow's mite happened here. That was where Jesus was tempted. Right over there is where he drove the money changers out of the temple. All these things that we read about. And it says that she laid him in a manger. Well, we're so used to the Christmas play, aren't we? Yeah. When you think of a manger, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind is what you've seen in them Christmas plays, which is the little kind of crossways little bassinet made out of wood, and you think about straw being put in it and all that stuff. No. Do you realize what a manger was historically? It was a hewn out stone. It was a feed trough, but it was a rock. Would you want to lay your baby down on a rock? You know, and it was a rock that had a little curvature to it. It says, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There was room for everything else. There was room for other people. I can imagine how being turned down, Joseph trying to explain to Mary, honey, there's no room. There's no place for us. I'm trying the best I can. I could even imagine them being a little uptight at each other about that situation. But remember what I'm saying. All of this was part of God's plan. They were not supposed to find room in the inn, and they didn't. And that was providential from God because they needed to follow his plan, his way. And they found the only place that was available, a stable, which another misconception is that we think of a barn. This was probably a cave. You know, an old, damp, cold cave where they would run animals in for shelter. That is what it's believed to have been. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. There was room for everything else. Let me ask you, is there room for everything else in your heart? Is there truly room for Jesus? Has Jesus found a spot in your heart that is marked for him and for him only. So we see the glorious birth of our Savior. And then it goes on in verse 8. It says that we start to hear the story of the shepherds. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. I'd like to see that. The angels and the glory of the Lord shone round them. I can imagine what kind of a great, brilliant light that was. To the shepherds. Why is that significant? You didn't want to raise your children to be a shepherd back in that day. You know, in other words, if somebody came up and said, ooh, Mom, I want to be a shepherd when I grow up, you're like, oh, Lord, what are we going to do with them? They were the lowest rung on the social and economic ladder of that particular day. Nobody wanted to, aspired to be a shepherd. But yet, that was the first announcement. Did you get that? It says, and behold, verse 9, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. They were smart. If I see something like that, I'm probably going to be greatly afraid too. How about you? And I can imagine what was going through the shepherd's mind. And then they hear verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I can imagine hearing this angel. Boys, it's going to be all right. I got good news. I'm a friend, not a foe. I bring you good news, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not some people, all people. And then he tells them, verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He says, and this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I don't know about you, but that's not a lot of data for me. So I'd have probably been going, well, what street's that going to be on? Well, yeah, could you tell me what farm that is? Which direction is that going to be? Is that on the outskirts of town on the north, south, east, or west side? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever really wondered about how the shepherds actually found the baby Jesus? I have, and let me give you the best answer I can give you. Here's how they found him. I don't know. Other than God showed them. Because it doesn't tell us here. No, now some of y'all are sitting there going, oh, they followed the star like the Magi. No, that was 2 years later. The Magi followed the star 2 years later. We don't know how they made it. Oh, yes, we do. Because God led them there. It was God who took them there to see his son. A proud papa. Hey, I want you to see my only begotten son. It says, verse 12, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Could you imagine? First of all, the shepherds are seeing this one angel that is bringing them the announcement. And then you see the most massive choir you've ever seen in your life. Praising God, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Man, I'd be a little shaky. But I like what they did. See, they're a lot like me. They're curious enough. They're seekers. Verse 15 says, so it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Immediately. I can imagine them. Hey, you saw what I saw? You heard what I heard? Yeah, I saw it. Wow. It's pretty impressive. I got an idea. Let's go see it. Let's go find him. Hey, they just told us that he was down there at a stable in a manger. Let's go see. They left what they were doing. They were immediately obedient to the calling in their heart to go seek out the Savior. He said, let's go see what the Lord has made known to us. And notice verse 16 says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. How they got there is only God knows that. God led them there, but they made it. They made it. And that's another point for us to ponder. If God is going to lead us to it, he will direct us to it as well. He will give us the directions. He will give us everything that we need to know to be successful in his eyes, not successful the way the world defines success. But they found him. It says, now when they had seen him, they had laid eyes on the baby Jesus. They had laid eyes on the long-awaited Messiah that they had heard about for millennia. It's happened. This is cool. They're like, I'm seeing it. This is what my great-great-great-grandpa told me about. And his son, and his son, and his son. And now, all the things that they had talked about in that day, I am seeing it with my own two eyes. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Where you got to see something come to pass that maybe family members or other people never got to see? And all of a sudden, you were so blessed. Man, imagine how blessed they were. This is him. This is the Messiah that everybody's been talking about for a long, long time, and I am seeing him with my own two eyes. Notice what it says in verse 18. Well, verse 17. It says, and now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They left that stable. They left that manger as missionaries. They were excited about what they'd seen, not just because it was a baby, but because of all the ramifications of everything that they had heard, all the things that had been prophesied from the days of old. And they could not wait to tell other people about it. So why is it that when we know Jesus Christ, we're not as excited to tell other people about it as those shepherds were when they had been in the presence of the Father? Now, I think I just gave you a hint. Here's why. Because they had been in the presence of Christ. I believe that part of the reason why we are not as excited to tell people about our relationship with Christ is because we haven't been with him enough. We haven't spent enough time with him. See, we can be a lot like the Pharisees. We can be very religious people and yet never spend time with Jesus. Oh, and listen, don't get me wrong. We're all guilty of that. You know, as a pastor, I can get up a sermon. I could sit down and do an academic sermon, and I could show up every Sunday and preach an academic sermon to you that may be very meaningful to you, but does not come from the heart. It did not come from experiencing the Savior. But I'll tell you this, the moment you experience him, your testimony is different. Your testimony changes. I have said before, if you fast forward to Thomas, you know, we all call Thomas what, Thomas? Doubting Thomas. We have hung that label on Thomas, you know, for his whole life. But you know what? Thomas, I've said this, I had to start giving Thomas credit because Thomas wasn't willing just simply to believe what other people had said to him, what other people had told him. Thomas said, I need to see it for myself. I need to experience it myself. And here's why. Are you ready? Because once you see Jesus for who he is, once you experience his love, once you experience his grace, you will never, ever doubt again. And see, Thomas never doubted again. After that day, Thomas died a martyr, but yet we still call him Doubting Thomas. He died for what he believed. You know, I love the study, and most of us in here, if we've been a Christian for any amount of time and we've been involved in the church, how many of y'all remember the study Experiencing God, written by Henry Blackaby? Okay? Most of us have probably gone through that. That's what it's really all about, experiencing God. Because once you experience him, being spiritual is not just something you do, it becomes about who you know. And man, what a joy that is. You can't wait to tell people about Jesus. You'll tell them. I mean, I loved doing that, even to people that think I'm weird. And there's a lot of people who do, you know. I was telling an Orthodox Jew on an airplane. She was stuck, man, beside me for 10 hours. For 10 hours, she got to hear about Jesus. And there was a lot of stuff that she agreed with as an Orthodox Jew. But I got a chance to say, you don't believe he's made it yet. I said, I do. I said, but here's the problem. I said, you and your husband are probably one of the sweetest couples I've ever seen in my life. I said, but let me tell you this. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. The Word of God says that. And of course, like I say, they don't buy into the New Testament. But I said, listen, I want you to know, I'd love to see you in heaven. You are a kind and you're a very spiritual person. And in so many words, I said, but you're a lost person. And lost people go to hell, not heaven. And you know what? I'm excited enough to tell people about Jesus. Yeah, again, a lifelong dream. I got to say, you know what? I've been there. I've been where Jesus walked. I stood up on the corner of the temple and said, Jesus and Satan stood right in this spot, and Satan tempted Jesus to throw himself off of that temple. Right here, where I'm standing. It brings new life to a lot of the stories that I've preached about my whole life. A lot of things that all of a sudden become more real because you see it with your own two eyes. But it says those shepherds left as missionaries. They were telling everybody. And I love what verse 18 says. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You see, I kind of liken it to this. The shepherds didn't really care about what people thought about them because they already thought they were the lowest thing on the totem pole. But yet it wasn't about that. It was about the love and the care and the concern that they had witnessed and they wanted everyone to know. I love verse 20. It says, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Notice what I said a moment ago, and this is what I want to shut it down with. Part of the reason that we have become cruise control Christians is because we are not hearing or seeing the things that Jesus is doing in our lives and around us. We are not experiencing God like maybe we once did. We're not experiencing. Maybe there's this thing about you that has said, I've checked the box. You know, I talked to the preacher. I prayed with him. I went through baptism, so I'm good to go. No. That's not it. Because you also have to remember the Bible says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Now, I'm not preaching salvation by works, but I'm preaching that salvation changes you. Jesus in you changes you. You can no longer do the sinful things you used to do without there being conviction in your heart or in your life because Jesus doesn't share space with sin. So what I want to challenge you to do is this. I want to challenge you to become like those shepherds. Not only this Christmas, but for the rest of your life. I want to challenge you to seek Jesus. I want to challenge you that as the Lord speaks to you through messages like you're hearing today, through His Word, through prayer, through wise Christian counsel, that when you hear and you say, hey, let us go and see the things that we've been told. And when you do, and when you get there, and you marvel over the situation, you will see things, you will hear things in your life that will excite you to the point that you will go out and you will share it with the whole wide world. Remember what a couple of the disciples a little bit later on in Jesus' ministry who said this? They said, we cannot keep quiet about the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard. and you see the Lord is right there for you to look at today. He's right there for you to go to. He is not the babe in the manger anymore. He grew. He had that ministry for some 33 years. He went to Calvary's cross for your sin and my sin. Perfect. He was perfect. He never sinned. Although tempted like you and I, he never sinned. You see, the sacrifice has to be greater than what it's purchasing. And he went to Calvary's cross for you and for me. And he says, here is salvation. Will you receive it? In the time of Christmas, we like to give gifts. You know, a gift is only good if it's received. I've loved to say that before. If I were to stand here and say, I've got a Christmas present for you, and I handed it, and I'm sitting there going, here, this is for you. There's something that has to take place next. What is that? You have to reach out, and you have to receive it. You have to take it. And today, throughout this whole wide world, God is standing there saying, I'm giving you the greatest gift ever. My only begotten Son, who was crucified for your sin, who rose again on the third day and conquered sin, death, and hell. So I am allowing you, if you will only trust him. Sounds like a hymn, doesn't it, Brad? Only trust him. If you will do that, he will provide eternal life. He will rescue you from the pits of hell. That little babe, so many years ago, began and kicked off an incredible time of prophecy fulfillment and a way for you and I to be able to experience eternal life outside of the place called hell. Can we think about those things as we go forward? Can we be like the missionaries? Can we sit back and say, you know what, we cannot help but to talk about the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard. You know, Christmas is a very special time, and Satan loves to distract us during this time. And you know what, I'm not opposed to Santa Claus. I've dressed up like him many times. But I will say this, we have to make sure that we are preaching the right gospel along with the fun stuff. That we tell our kids, this is what Christmas is really about. Yes, we have some fun along the way in the other way, because it won't be fun anymore when you're an adult. Get what I'm saying? Now, some of y'all are going, well, you just don't have Christmas spirit. You know, you're missing what I'm talking about. When you and Santa Claus become one, you get what I'm saying? It's not as much fun as it was when you was just jumping out of bed and running down to see what was under the tree. This is the reason we celebrate the season. I want to encourage you at some point this week. I know you're going to be getting together with friends, with family, and whenever the case may be. But I want to encourage you to always maintain the true reason why you celebrate the season. I want to encourage you that at some point along the way in your gathering with family, that, yeah, you know what, it's all right if you read the story of Ma and her kerchief and I and my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. But why don't you include Luke 2 in there as well and share that with your family? Because see, the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is what convicts hearts. So we can read that story too, can't we? We can share those things, and we can tell our friends and our family what Jesus has done for us. See, that's part of the reason why we do Christmas Eve communion. And Christmas Eve communion is all about taking the time in the middle of the push and shove to say, I'm going to remember why we do what we do. So I'll go ahead and throw my pitch for that right now. At 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve or at 6:30. Choose your poison. You don't have to come to both of them, but either 6 or 6:30. Come by here. Come by the Lord's house. And we're just going to take time to have communion. You're not going to hear me preach a message or anything else, but we are simply going to have communion to remember what the Lord has done for us. It'll take you 10, 15 minutes tops. Now, here's the other thing I want you to do. You're like, well, Aunt Harriet's in from Poughkeepsie, Iowa. We'll bring Aunt Harriet with you. And then when Aunt Harriet says, well, I just didn't bring church clothes, you say, you got clothes on now? They're church clothes. Come on. Come with me. Could be the 15 minutes that changes somebody's life, including your own. It's saying, I'm going to pause the busyness. The turkey will be okay. The ham will be fine. Let's go by there. It's just going to be a few minutes. But you're taking time out and you're purposing to remember Christ at Christmas. Would you do that? What about today? What has he said to you? Brad, you guys come on up, take your place. We're getting ready to have our time of invitation. Not my invitation, but his invitation. The announcement was made many years ago. The announcement is made today. For is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ our Lord. And we know that as he lived, as he went to Calvary, as he rose again, today, God Almighty, this very day, for you in person, you and God, mano a mano, he is standing there holding the gift of salvation and saying, this is for you. Jesus Christ, this is for you. Will you accept the free gift of salvation? You know, I know that someday I'm going to stand in heaven and I will stand accountable for every sermon that's ever been preached from that or any other pulpit. And if I fail to preach salvation, then those the folks who will wind up in hell's blood will be on my hands. I'm going to heaven with clean hands. Jesus says today, I died for you, but I rose again for you. Will you give me your life that you might have eternal life? God says, here is the gift. Will you receive it? That's purely up to you. Listen, if you want to receive that gift today of Christ, you can simply in prayer is communication with God, you can say, Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he rose again on the third day. And Lord, I give my life to you. Forgive my sin and help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, if you did that, you have begun a relationship with him. Now he says, you're part of the family. We need to start getting you dressing like the family, walking like the family, talking like the family, representing the family. That's called discipleship. Listen, if you trusted Christ today, please let us know. Listen, when we start this song in just a minute, just come down here and say, look, I trusted Jesus today, Pastor. Listen, if you're part of our online audience, maybe you're driving down the road, whatever it may be. If you trusted Jesus today, let Dr. Cazito know. We want to celebrate with you. We're not going to sell your names or email addresses to telemarketers. That's not what it's about. We would love to help you start your journey. And I promise you, when it's done properly, it will be the time of your life. It will be more fun than you have ever, ever had. I promise you can hold me to it. I guarantee it. Seeing and hearing the things the Lord does. Maybe you're here today and all of a sudden you just got awakened. You know, we've been on autopilot. We've been missing all the things God's been doing in our periphery because we're too busy being spiritual. We're so busy being something instead of becoming something. We're missing the things that God has put in our way. We're missing all the things in life that he's got in store for each and every one of us. And today is going to be a change. Today you're sitting back saying, Lord, I get it. I've been too busy being a Christian that I've just missed you completely. You can fix that today. The altar's here. I'm here. Whatever it may be. You know how to go to him. You know how to confess. You know how to repent. You know how to return like that prodigal son. God is not only waiting for you, he'll meet you in the middle. What do you need to do? You make those decisions right now so that you will be glad that as you walk out of this door, if you stand before him this very day, that you made the right decisions. Would you stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn, number 281, Speak to My Heart. your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you seek the Lord, He has spoken to your heart. Rest assured of that. The question is, what will you do? He is standing there with His gift of His only begotten, resurrected Son as the gift of life, as the gift of eternal life. Have we accepted it? Have we received Him? Will you go away from here with conviction in your heart, or will you deal with it now and understand the peace that can only come from our Heavenly Father? You do business with God. As you do, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering for Him. Father, as we come to You again, we are indeed grateful for provision that You have provided for us. Lord, You know each and every one of our circumstances and situations in every way, shape, form, or fashion. Lord, You know the number of hairs on our heads. You know our financial situations, and You have just simply called us, Lord, to be obedient to You, to return that portion that You have so richly blessed us with. Father, may we be found obedient today in returning to You the tithe and offering, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Now, you notice it probably in the bulletin said Vicki Boer. She didn't get married or change her name. That was actually Nancy's daughter, but they're a little under the, Vicki's a little under the weather, and Jake's a little under the weather, so they weren't able to be with us. But we did have a Vicki that did our offertory. We're grateful for her. Let me tell you a few things that we got going on, and then we'll get some of you out of here, and some of you we'll let hang around. Don't forget, we do have our business meeting. This is our final business meeting of this year. We need to approve our budget because 2026 is going to be coming around. So it shouldn't be a very long meeting. You got David as moderator and me. I promise it won't be long, but hang with us. Just a couple of things we've got going for this week. Birthdays. Our own Tim Wharf back there has a birthday tomorrow, so be sure to wish Tim a happy birthday. As well as on Tuesday, Leonard Stafford will be having a birthday. We love Leonard, appreciate him. As always, a pillar of our church as well as our community. We do have a couple of anniversaries coming up this week. Friday, Joy and Jeff Pickard will be celebrating an anniversary. So if you get a chance, let them know how much you love them and what a joy it is to have them as part of the, not only the family of God, but the family of Central Baptist Church. Let me tell you a few things we've got going on today. It is our quarterly and final business meeting of the year. That will take place about 10 minutes after the final prayer right here in the sanctuary. Please stay with us if you're a church member. If you're not, feel free to go save places in line for us to eat because we'll be along shortly. We don't have any other services on schedule for today for this evening. And then just as a reminder, Monday through Wednesday of this week, the Family Life Center, both of the stairwells are actually going to be painted because school is not in. So they're going to be doing that Monday through Wednesday. So please limit your access in the stairwells Monday through Wednesday of this coming week. Wednesday, the office will be closed, but that's Christmas Eve. We will be having Christmas Eve communion right here in this sanctuary. First one is at 6 o'clock. The second one is at 6:30. We're only talking about 10 to 15 minutes for each one, but we would certainly love to have you. Bring family, bring friends, grab anybody you can. We would love to be able to have you with us. Thursday, the office will be closed. That's on Christmas Day. And then just a couple of quick things. On January the 7th, the Ladies Connection monthly meeting at 4 o'clock. We'll be here in Family Life Center 116. And then the Ladies Monthly Breakfast will be on January the 14th, 9 a.m. At Cagney's. The only other thing I need you to be praying about is our 2026 Cuba mission team will be on the field February the 27th through March the 6th. So keep us in your prayers. That will be here before we know it. I mean, time is evaporating. Amen. It is going by quickly. Now, before we close out in a word of prayer, there are some folks that we do want to take the time to be able to recognize because they are an intricate part of our church family. They do a lot of things that are behind the scenes that most people don't even know about. As far as in our musical area and musical field, most of you have noticed over this past year that when Donna wasn't with us, things seemed to be different. But if you would, give Donna a hand. We got a little something for Donna. We want to recognize her. Right now, she is in a rehab facility trying to get back on her feet so that we might see her again very, very soon. But we want to recognize Donna and thank her for her dedication for us. Another one musically that's been doing a lot of heavy lifting musically around here lately is Vicki Jones. Vicki, come on up here just a second. I want you to stay up here with me because I want to get people a chance to see who you are. But Central Baptist loves you, and we just wanted to give you a little something of appreciation. So just hang up here with me. Another one you've had such an opportunity to see, who's done so much behind the scenes work. You get to hear the wind ensemble, and I always like to look at it like this: what a chip off of the old block. Because even when his daddy went to be with Jesus, he said, "You know what? I'm going to keep on doing what I love to do and what I know my daddy loved to do." And I'm trying not to get choked up because I sure love him, Miss John, they have it as James. We know him as Jim. Jim, if you would come on up and join us. He leads our wind ensemble. Thank you so much for all you do, brother. Love you. Give me a hug. I like that red jacket. Another one is, I'll do it a different way. Let's do it this way. Who's back there at the soundboard, which I will, in just a moment, have somebody run this back to him. Ernie is the one who keeps us pretty much in line. If you hear or can hear and that sort of thing, you can thank Ernie. He runs the soundboard. He does the tracks. He does all the different things. I'm not going to ask Ernie how many years he's been doing that, but he came with the place when I got here. So Ernie's been doing sound for a long time, but we want to recognize today Ernie Wall for all his contributions to Central Baptist Church. And I will run your gift back to you in just a moment, because I know he's driving the bus, as they say. There's a couple people who are not necessarily in this room, but that doesn't mean that they are not here. If you have ever watched online or seen any of the production stuff that goes out by way of Central Baptist, there's as many as three people over next door upstairs. So guys, by the way, I know you're watching this. If you can, slip on over here real quick, because we want people to see who you are, because they never get to see you anyway. But I want to recognize those that actually run the cameras, that put our online stuff out there for us. And that is, that's Don Wright, Wesley Ham, and Ryan Anderson. They're the three that actually run our production stuff. Would you give them a hand? Hopefully you guys will make it over here. Put it on autopilot if you can, and I'll try to stay still. But we would like for people to have an opportunity to see you as well. In another area that is something that most of us have found very critical, you don't realize how critical something is until it doesn't work or until it's not there. So the other thing that we want to mention today is the one who helps keep you up to speed in your Bible, who helps keep you up to speed with the words of our songs and everything else. But the person that runs our computer is our very own Travis Anderson. Travis, if you would come on down, buddy, stay up here with us. He's the one that when I say, whatever passage, he's the one that gets it there, keeps it there for us. We love him and appreciate him. Hang up here with us for just a minute. As the other guys hopefully are able to make their way over here, one of the things that I have seen that a lot of people don't really think about is how important in our given society that we are today. And one of the things that I want to take a moment to stop and to pause and to mention is that we do have another minister, not necessarily a pastor, but a minister in our church that most people don't really stop and consider or think about. And we wanted to take a moment this year to say a very special thank you and to recognize a very, very special person who works so hard that some of you see it, some of you don't. But I call him our minister, our online minister to the world, John Cazito. If you would join us up here. We love Dr. Cazito. A lot of us don't know it or understand it, but there are so many people who are touched by this video along the way, what goes out, whether they see it on the repeat or whether it's live. John, thank you for all you do. Buddy, we love you, we appreciate you, and we just wanted to say thank you. So when you hear me talk about Dr. Cazito, guys, you online, that's the guy right there that you get to interact with. Here comes Wesley as well as Ryan. These are the guys that are running the studio over there today, so I guess we're on autopilot, right? Oh, Don's over there. Okay, so we... Yeah, he sent you over here. But guys, thank you for all you do for keeping us up and going, keeping us up to speed, keeping us online, and weeding through all of the other things that take place along the way. So hopefully we'll see Don here before it's over with. And what I'm going to do, I think I'm supposed to turn this over for a minute before I close to a representative from personnel. Is that right? I think I see a representative of personnel. It'd be like, Tammy Gardner, come on down. You're the next contestant on the Price is Right. And Ernie, I'm going to give you this real quick.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
I
can speak, but I'm not good at speaking out like this. Guys, I just want to thank all of the staff who are the leader of this church. And Roy and David, Brad, Tim, please come forward. I won't be quite as eloquent with each one of my as Roy is. So, Roy, I think I'm supposed to give you Debbie's.
Okay. I'll make sure. Appreciate you. Merry Christmas, girl.
Brad.
Hey, I want you to take just a moment, if you would. I wanted you to see all these folks because they do so many things around here. Some of them you see up front. You see us up front all the time, but a lot of these folks are behind the scenes. But they are critical to our church being able to be productive, to being able to go forward. And we want to thank them and recognize them for that. So how many of you got to put some names with faces that maybe you didn't quite know exactly what they did? Maybe you knew them. Maybe this was something new to you. Good. If you can't put your hand up, that means you recognize what they do. Would you, with me, give them a hand for all their hard work and all that they do? Thank you so much. Each and every one of you, we appreciate it. We look forward to 2026. Now you can go sit down because I'm going to get David to come close us in a word of prayer. Do not forget that we still have our business meeting. Probably we'll give you time to stretch just a minute. If you are part of the church, a voting member of the church, we got a couple of things really a couple major things we're going to do. It's budget and then bring some deacons on board. That's what we're looking to do. So if you'll just give us a few minutes. What time are you thinking? 10 minutes after, so that would be, let's call it 12:25. I said that right, good. Guys, listen, we appreciate you, we love you, we pray you have a Merry Christmas, and I pray that we're going to have an opportunity to see you this coming Christmas Eve right here as we remember our Lord and Savior. Don't forget Donna. Donna is now in rehab. David, and don't forget David. Listen, David is burning this candle at both ends. And you know what, David? I'm not trying to call you old, but there's not as much candle as it used to be. So we need to pray for David as he takes care of Donna during this time. Let's keep him uplifted in prayers. So good. I get to have my mama with me for a couple of days. She's here. She's the one who gave us our nativity scene that matches. For those who watch online, Donry, I love you. Othenia, love you. Nancy, love you. All the regulars that are part of our online group, we just want you to know your family too. We love you. We miss you. Brother David, if you'll see us off in a word of prayer, and then we'll see if we can get our business meeting rolling.
Father, we just thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house. We thank you that we have a place that we can worship, and we have the freedom to worship. And Lord, we just thank you for this season of the year when we can be reminded of the sacrifice that was made on Calvary's cross for us. Even though we celebrate the birth, we know, Father, that Jesus was born to die for us. Thank you for that gift of salvation. God, help us to share it with everyone we see during this holiday season. We ask.